Hello, campus.
I mean, listeners.
So here we are on page 86. I hope you find this book reading relaxing to listen to. The internet. You'd think the internet was the sole cause of the world's ills, what with all the bad press it gets. But it is about time someone stood up for it. Any form of media is open to corruption and can be used as a negative force. Look at books, newspapers, television over the course of history. But that does not make them inherently bad. No other technological advance has driven the size and scope of change and development that the internet has. And nothing has moved so fast. The internet has empowered, informed, educated and inspired as an accomplishment to our own minds and imaginations. It is second to none. And the internet is a good thing. And our lives are better for it. Internet communities. One thing the internet has brought back into many of our lives is a sense of community. It may be a shame that this huge, impersonal, technological beast was the catalyst for this rediscovery, but that would be a petty quibble. It is nice to have it back. News groups, discussion forums, message boards, support sites, chat rooms, blogs, MySpace. That's gone out the window a bit since this book was made. Social networking, they're all a myriad of sites that invite our involvement. We are communicating with larger groups of individuals on a daily basis, and on the whole, our lives are being enriched. On Amazon, other readers will tell you what they thought of the books they bought, and you can see what other titles they have to read, or they have liked to read. On social networking sites, people are brought together based on their interests, the music they like, the places they visit, etc. Support forums can be saviours. I recently had a problem with my laptop, posted a question on a computer support forum, and 6 people quickly responded with suggestions and advice. 2 of them kept helping out, offering detailed step-by-step instructions until the issue was resolved. I have never met these people. I don't even know their real names. They had nothing to gain from helping out. It was just a nice thing to do. I like that about the internet. That there are so many people prepared to help you. Quite a few prepared to give you a sarcastic answer as well, but you know, sometimes that's not bad. Internet radio. Right now, I can, if I so desire, I can listen to more or less any radio station currently broadcasting on the planet. I can find out what the travel is like in Brisbane, what news stories are making the headlines in Tokyo, check out the new music coming from New York, hear a live opera from Venice, listen to real people tell real stories from anywhere on Earth. With the advent of the wireless internet radio, the rest of the world really can enter my living room or kitchen or bathroom, and life is all the more interesting for it. I like having something on in the background. Isle of Wight. It isn't so much that time has forgotten the Isle of Wight, more that time has preserved it. Described by many as England in miniature, a visit to the island is like a step back to the country of your childhood. No matter in what era you grew up, the Isle of Wight is notable for many reasons, both current and historical. It is one of the last sanctuaries for the red squirrel. Oops. In the UK, no grey squirrels exist on the island. It is a rich location for fossils, and many intact dinosaur skeletons have been found over the years. Its distinct coloured sands can still be collected and displayed by eager children and adults alike. Its sense of community is like the England of yesteryear, and there is something quite heartening about that. It's a wonderful life. George Bailey, a young family man who has spent his life serving others, finds himself on a bridge outside his hometown of Bedford Falls, contemplating suicide. He faces financial ruin because of one silly mistake. Something that isn't even his own fault, and his world appears to be falling apart. Suddenly, he sees everyone fall. Suddenly, he sees someone fall into the river, and he jumps in to save them. That someone turns out to be Clarence, an angel, second class, sent to Earth to help George in his hour of need. And when George wishes he had never been born, Clarence makes that wish come true and takes him on a tour of Bedford Falls, a very different town without the influence of George Bailey. So goes the basic premise of It's a Wonderful Life, one of the most treasured films in cinema history. To the outsider, or anyone unfamiliar with the film, it may seem a little trite or sentimental, but that would be a mistake. Frank Capra's classic movie is actually quite dark and sinister. Many people forget the depths of despair that George Bailey is driven to, but it needs to be bleak and melancholy, as that makes the final redemption all the more striking, all the more effective. When first released in 1946, it was a commercial flop. Losing money from the studio, and the CIA considered it a subversive, pro-communist movie. As a result, it wallowed in obscurity for many years. Its enduring legacy is actually down to an administration error. The movie was accidentally allowed to fall out of copyright, which meant that American TV stations could broadcast it for free, and as a result it became a staple of Christmas viewing during the 1960s and 70s, elevating it to its classic status. It now ranks as number one in the American Film Institute's list of most inspiring films of all time. It is a lovely film. Now we're on to Jay. No other things begin with Jay. Japanese cool stuff. The rest of the world looks on in wonder at the weird, wonderful, and just plain cool stuff that comes out of Japan. Whether it be computers, electronics, it was the country that brought us Space Invaders and almost every other major computer game development since. Or green tea flavoured Kit Kats. Robot dogs. Manga. Japanese churns out the most amazing things. We look on from afar, slightly amused, but secretly quite jealous. An interview with Peter Payne from JList.com, one of the biggest online Japanese stores. Why do you think the Japanese make so much cool stuff? I'm not sure what it is about Japan that makes it such a mysterious place, but it certainly is. One thing I like about the Japanese is that they're very meticulous, always doing something incredibly minute, detailed things, from creating an anime statue to making very small machines. Do you have a particular favourite item that you sell? We have so many items, it's hard to choose, but I like the wacky things from Japan category of items that we offer. Basically, anything that's silly, like the split-toed tabi boots called ninja boots, since ninjas used to wear them for balancing while invading a castle. Things like that are fun to sell, since no one expects to find them on JList. Other similar items include the poop hat. A soft plush hat that's, well, supposed to look like a poop. And the girlfriend knee pillow. A place to lay your head down on when you're tired, but don't have a girlfriend. I thought it was going to be something much more rude. Sorry, that's just my bad. Filthy mind. Right. Also, an opai ball. A soft, water-filled boob that's great for women when you need something to squeeze. I think it's just, I've read that wrong. It's great for when you need something to squeeze, not just for women. Oh dear me. My mind is going kaput. Try again. And what are the most popular items on your site? The kanji message t-shirts are popular, especially I'm looking for a Japanese girlfriend. We've recently licensed Dumo-kun, and the Dumo-kun shirts are flying out of the door too. Another big item for us are the Japanese snacks, Japan-only flavours of Kit Kat. Sakura Kit Kat, green tea Kit Kat, etc. are huge. I never knew that. Even though you have been living in Japan for some time and make a living from Japanese merchandise, do you still come across something and find it really weird? weird stuff in Japan. Yes, of course. They can always surprise you. The other day, we got an ashtray that features the mannequin piece. Oh, the mannequin piece. That's the statue in Belgium. When you're done with your cigarette, press the button and he pees on your cigarette. Still sell them. where was I? What? calm down. What do you think the rest of the world could learn from Japan and Japanese culture? Oh, lots. Mainly, let's all live by the mantra, world peace through shared popular culture. There's nothing that's in Japan that isn't being enjoyed outside of Japan too, and vice versa. Chuck Jones. Some individuals have had more impact on popular culture than others. Some people have created art that has touched lives all over the planet. Some entertainers have made the whole world smile. And Chuck Jones is one of the rare people to have managed all three. Jones was an animator and cartoon director. His creations include Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote, Pepe Le Pew, and Marvin the Martians. He helped to bring to life and was behind many of the finest moments of Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd, Porky Pig, Tom and Jerry. He didn't compose symphonies, he didn't save lives, he didn't write classic literature. He made cartoons, and bloody good ones too. Me. Journey home. The greatest journey on earth is not the Trans-Siberian Railway, or trekking across the Himalayas, nor is it being pulled into a sled by huskies through the Arctic wastes, or in the Galapagos and its Isles of Wonder. The greatest journey on earth is the one that takes you home. Simple. Juggling for more than 5 seconds for the first time. Juggling is a mystery to most and takes years to master properly. Learning to juggle is a series of disappointments to a soundtrack of thuds and bean bags dropping to the floor. But every now and again, the apprentice juggler gets past the first few throws and starts to build up a rhythm. Before they know it, 5 seconds have elapsed, then 10, then 20. Before too long, the inevitable happens. But for those splendid moments beforehand, the sense of achievement is massive, and the spirit of invincibility fills the air. I've juggled 3 bean bags before now. don't think I managed to juggle hoops very well. And I did have a go at those ones that look like bowling pins. But I think I stubbed the end of my finger on one. Jumping the queue. Legitimately, of course. You know what that's like. A trip to the supermarket for a loaf of bread or some loo roll and you're stuck behind a winding queue for the till behind an old lady who appears to be doing her annual shop and stocking up for a nuclear attack. You start to think of ways you can make a sandwich without bread, or alternatively, toilet paper, as you really cannot be bothered to wait so long. Or alternatives to toilet paper. I was just going to say, I read that as making a sandwich from toilet paper for a minute. That's no good. Anyway. You really cannot be bothered to wait so long. And then the woman in front of you spies your paltry load and allows you to go in front of her. Soon, everyone else follows suit and, before you know it, you are pocketing your change and waving your thanks to everyone as you wend your merry way, full of love for your fellow man and woman. I must admit, I sometimes let people in front of me if I see they've only got a couple of things. But not in Aldi, because they're so quick I can hardly keep up myself. Right. Just a minute. This is a very specific entry. Just a Minute is a long-running Radio 4 quiz show in which contestants have to speak for 1 minute on a subject without repetition, hesitation, or deviation. Many celebrities, actors, and comedians have played it over the years, but the finest episodes of the show and the ones that earn it a place in this book would feature some of the classic lineup: Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Peter Jones. They would wax lyrical under the chairmanship of Nicholas Parsons. An hour of classic radio were the result. With three of them no longer with us, we shall never hear its like again. And now we're up to 23 minutes. So we'll save K for next time. I hope you're feeling a bit more positive.